Welcome to the Giddy Up Podcast, episode 6. I'm joined by Don Elgin, the 1994 gold medal winner in the 4x100 World Championships. Welcome, Donnie.
Oh, mate, that's a very impressive stat from a long, long time ago. Mate, how
it's
are you, JP?
Going back a while, isn't it? When you start saying numbers like 1994 and it's suddenly 2020, it's like you're adding it up with your fingers. You're going, I don't have enough fingers anymore.
Mate, I well and truly ran out of fingers years ago. And I tell you what, the really scary thing is when you're talking to people and they're dropping out a birthday and it's after you've finished competing. It's like, well, now I'm really old. That's what that says, mate.
Older and wiser, though, Donnie. You've got to count on the wise factor, mate. Mature,
I keep forgetting all those that things, bit, yeah. I think there's a lot of people that are happy to remind me to keep forgetting the wise a bit, too.
No. Well, yeah, life does that to you, doesn't it? So, now, of course, tonight, if people are listening, we always have some wonderful prizes to give away thanks to our sponsors at tradie.com and tomm.com.au. So tonight's prize is, again, a $150 tradie voucher, and that's going to go into our prize wheel draw. So if you haven't listened before, we're going to give a code word at some point throughout the podcast. What is the code word tonight, Donnie?
Well, JT, the official judges have given me one. Well, it's a bit of the elephant in the room. The word is elephant. So we have to get that one in. I'll endeavour to get it. One of us has to get it, JT. One of us has to get it.
All right, so elephant. If you hear the word elephant, just type your comments or type elephant into the comments box and Facebook and you'll go into the draw to win. And, of course, tonight what we're doing is thanks to tomm.com.au, we're going to be giving away an awesome electronics prize. It could be some fantastic headsets, headphones, you name it. He's got awesome gadgets there on the website.
Has any ever?
Oh, you've got a few there in the background.
He's got earpods and little speaker boom boxes, JT.
I like that setup there, Donnie, in the background. There we have a look there. You've got some good gear there, mate. Yeah.
And the carry bag for when you go really to town. And, of course, the tradie sprays there, mate. I've given myself a bit of a sniff after putting that on. So it's we've got the lot here, JT.
Bloody mate. Awesome, mate. Well done. So I'm going to put the pressure on you tonight. You're going to be selecting the person who's the best contributor for the night. So it could be the best comment, could be the question, could be a topic that they want us to talk about and they're just thrown our way. It's all on your hands, mate.
JT, great news. I can actually see the comments box tonight, mate. So all I need people is in there is to say, g'day, Don, you're looking better looking than JT for a change or anything at all. And we will absolutely consider all those comments. The best one gets the, what do they get, JT?
Oh, they get a beautiful prize from tomm.com.au.
Excellent.
Good to see you got the missus working hard for you, mate, there with a comment straight off the bat. We love that. G'day, Boof.
Oh, and she's right on the money too, mate. Your fancy, great screen work. Everyone loves the screen work, JT. All the ladies
beautiful
are
Nance,
very
hello.
Impressed with your gadget control. The best ladies on the planet right there endorsing your good work.
We love our gadgets. And, of course, like every episode or every week, we've got lots to talk about. So let's get straight into our first episode.
Weird. Wonderful and wacky.
Oh, I love that little tune. Now, mate, I'm going to talk to something that I love, and it's no secret that I am a bit of a nerd and a bit of a geek.
Let me have a stab at it. I'm going to stretch right out there and say something to do with animals.
We are going to cover some animals. That is absolutely right. In fact, the second story is an animal. But this one's something else that's really close to my heart. And I think I mentioned it once before that I geek out on the Titanic. I love it. Reading about it, watching stuff, love the movie.
The movie, did you like the Leonardo flying bit?
Loved every part of the movie, watched it way too many times probably. This was pretty exciting, Donnie, because, they're now offering tours, Don.
Huh?
Tours down to the Titanic. Of course, you know me, I love sharing videos and stuff. So have a look at this, mate. This is real stuff.
Right.
2 miles under the ocean's surface lies the wreckage of the world's most famous shipwreck. Soon, groups of adventurers will experience a rare up-close look at the Titanic. Beginning in 2018, OceanGate Expeditions will begin a series of week-long missions to the bottom of the Atlantic.
Now, it was supposed to start in 2018 and it got pushed back. There's a whole bunch of issues over rights, visitation rights, who owns it, and they don't want to disturb it and all that sort of stuff. But it's back on, game on, Donnie. So You're going to snap up a ticket?
That'd be cheap tickets. I'll tell you, that'd be cheap, JT. What are they going for?
Mate, it's seriously, you want to grab yourself a bargain. And what price, Donnie, do you put on history, mate? Because this ship is deteriorating. It is sadly actually disintegrating. And so at some point, it's not going to be there. And it's a huge part of the human history, mate. What price would you put on that, Don? I mean...
Well, first thing I want to know, JT, had they got a rescue boat for the one that goes down there just in case?
No, and it's a long way under, so if things go wrong, you're in all sorts of trouble. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Whatever you're paying, you're on your own, brother. I'm not going to that. But well, I reckon what? Oh, I don't know. $500?
Yeah, look, not pretty close, actually. Just 175 grand off. So,
huh?
Yeah, 175K for, and that'll get you down there for about 6 to 8 hours. So, a 6 to 8 hour tour, 175 grand. Bargain?
And what are they charging to bring you back to the top?
Well, that's when they tell you, you want to go back up. That's another 100 grand. I mean, what are you going to do at that point, right? You got nothing to argue on. So, there we go. Tours to the Titanic are back on. Now, we love
it.
Sorry, mate, go for it.
I'm just going to do a big shout out to the awesome humans joining in and commenting. We've got Miranda, one of our regular winners. Of course, we've got Nant has jumped in there. It's bloody fantastic. Boof's on. Mum's jumped on. So, mate, there's people coming from left, right, and centre to get here tonight, JT.
Happy days. We love seeing them all and we love seeing your comments. We do read them while we're doing the show. And if there's something you want to talk about or add to the show, just comment away and you'll be in it. Now, our second story, Don, as you said, I do love my animals. And I came across this, a cat. And I've got photos, of course, because you have to see these things sometimes to believe them. But this is a Thailand issue, and we have our Thailand listeners as well. So I thought, here we go. We can link the two together here, Don. You like how I'm doing that? So a cat had gone missing for 3 days. Now, as a cat owner, right. I'd be pretty worried if my cat had been missing for 3 days. I'd be thinking the worst.
Well, Oscar doesn't go for 30 seconds out the front before he's knocking on the door to come back in.
Well, that's right. He does like staying close. He's asleep right behind me, probably almost just sitting there in the base.
I see you've gone to the dungeon today too, JT.
Down in the dungeon. Might change locations a bit later on. But so there's this cat. Anyway, it's been missing for 3 days and it finally comes back, Don. It comes home, but it's got a little note stuck around its head.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to give you a look have a look at this.
Oh, no.
It's a little note. It's a little naughty cat. He looks like he's been in trouble too, doesn't he? He's got that naughty look on his face.
Hey,
now, of course, the sign's written in Thai, and I'm sure our Thai friends can interpret it for us. But what it was is the cat was basically going to a nearby market stall, and there was a lady there who felt sorry for this cat, thought it was a bit lost. So she was feeding it. She was giving it fish every day. So it had come to her stall, and she's feeding it. So she put a little... a sign on it that basically just said, you owe me a few bucks for the I've been looking after your cat for you, but you owe me a bit of money. Here's my stall number at the market.
Oh, that's clever. So kidnap a cat and then send it back with a ransom
note, exactly,
a bill, mate. I tell you what, those store owners never miss a beat, do they? That's bloody impressive.
Well, it's tough times out there. You've got to look for alternative ways to make revenue, Don. So.
JT, I've got a story later on that I almost guarantee that any store owner on the planet would not be sticking a note on this one. So stay tuned, right. JT. It's one to, for you, mate.
I look forward to hearing this one. Now, on the animal thing, now this one's a little bit bizarre, but this is a true story. And if I told you, you're just not going to believe it. And a train derailed. This is over in Denmark. And a train derailed, went right off the tracks. And it was going to plunge. This was an elevated track and basically could have just plunged straight towards the ground and it would have been game over. But
I've heard about that.
Sometimes animals come to the rescue, Don. And I know what you're thinking.
No, what's happening?
How could an animal save a massive, huge ton of, you know, weight that would be, you know, in a train? But it happened. Check this footage. Huh? Yeah, check this out. Here we go. Have a look at that.
Holy crap!
That they are actual statues that or sculptures, I should say, of whale tails. And the train has come right over the edge and it has landed on the tail of that whale and literally saved that train driver's life.
No way, JT. That's a bloody marketing ploy. That is a stunt. That's not real. Can't be.
Pretty impressive. It is genuinely true.
What is, why on earth is the bloody train stopping, like the tracks finished just before
well,
the whale?
Well, it derailed off. It went off. And something went wrong. And, and the whale tail came to the rescue. So, how's that for good news? I like mate, that's, I love Miranda's little comment there. She just says there she had a dog in her street that would go to the local Safeway and grab a packet of biscuits off the bottom shelf. Animals are bloody clever, aren't they?
That's called well-trained. And I wouldn't put anything past Miranda. She goes, oh, just coincidental that it was in our street. Yeah, she'd been training him for 5 years to do that.
That's very, very true. Now, of course...
it's that sort of comments, JT, that could be in the running to win a prize tonight. Best could, comments. We like that.
It's exactly right. Keep them coming. You could score an awesome prize from tomm.com.au. Now, we do love talking about animals. We're just talking about dogs going to supermarkets. Well, here's a story for you, Don. There's a town over in the US. They do some weird things over there in the US, down in Kentucky, down in Southern US.
No, the US don't do weird stuff. Well, I mean, their elections, that's all not weird.
Well, Donnie, obviously we've shied away from talking about politics because we want to keep this show upbeat, so we don't really go there. But it's fair to say some of the politicians that we have to deal with in Australia are bordering on incompetent.
Well, yes, true.
And sometimes you think, Jesus, I reckon I could do a better job. Jeez, I think bloody Oscar could do a better job than some of these bloody peanuts that are in power.
JT, are you going to run for elections?
I am not announcing my my nomination for elections, but I do want to put a shout out to the new mayor of a town called Rabbit Hush over in Kentucky. There's the new mayor, Donnie.
Bullshit, did he get voted in?
Very popular choice, got 13,143 out of the 23,000 votes in a new record. So he's going to be replacing the previous mayor, who was a pit bull who served since 2017.
Of course he did. Oh, JT.
Mate, it was a good win, but he did have some competition, though. Jack Rabbit the Beagle and Poppy the Golden Retriever came in second and third. So it was a tough run, but it looked like the better dog came through on the day.
Well, they say every dog has his day. There it is, JT.
It is absolutely had his day, all right. So, you go. Maybe we could do the same. We just had all our council elections here. I didn't see any dogs get in, but maybe next time around.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, JT, because I thought you were going to suggest a few might have got in, but no.
That... might give put Oscar down for a nomination for the next council elections. What could go wrong? Now, it's also been a weird week outside of the animal world, Don.
JT, I have been searching the world and looking for different things. Now, I know you've been finding a few things. I'm going to throw one at you.
What do you got?
Remember a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about this bloke giving reviews, bad reviews, and he was going to be going to jail, locked up in Thailand for bagging a, a $15 mortgage fee.
And he wasn't happy about it, and he went off, and we did talk about it. What's happened?
Well, this is what happened. He did his 2 nights in jail, but to have the bail given back to him and get out of the country basically alive without spending a couple of years in there, he had to go to TripAdvisor and get a note from TripAdvisor to say, hey, listen, we're sorry, we won't publish that review. And it's let me read this out, JT. This is really, really interesting stuff. So TripAdvisor, their gig is to publish literally people's reviews of all sorts of accommodation and venues and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So Thailand have a law saying you cannot rubbish their monarchy, or basically you can't go to town on Thailand, right? They're a protective species, and they've done it pretty well, threatened him with jail. And so, of course, off he went. So this is what happened.
So he was got in trouble, not from TripAdvisor, from the Thailand government for writing the review.
Yeah. Correct. So the hotel went to the police and said, hey, this is a bad review. You won't take it down. Like, naughty. That's not good.
Got it.
Okay, bang. 2 nights in jail.
So that's why he had the 2 nights in jail. Yep, got it. Okay, yep.
Correct. To get that all sorted, what he had to do is go to TripAdvisor and say, hey, TripAdvisor, I need to, I need to put an apology in, and I also need to make sure that, we revoke that.
Take the review down, basically.
Yes. Sure. And TripAdvisor thought about this, and they were, surprisingly, JT, they were paying his legal bills, because TripAdvisor got lawsuits all over the joint. Like, literally every country are going to town because someone's left a shit review in hotels. And if you leave a really bad one, it can affect that business. There's no question about it.
Right.
And but TripAdvisor were basically being told that they had to stop being TripAdvisor. They had to stop allowing people to write honest reviews. And so what they did is they said, right, we won't give you the red badge. And a red badge is, boom, that's bad news for any business that gets a red badge. because it basically rubbishes them. Not good. So this is what happened. They got the bloke out of the country, and then TripAdvisor, first time they've ever done it, they come out and they said that they put a new warning on that hotel, and the warning read, the reviewer spent time in jail as a result of a bad review. So basically, TripAdvisor, I don't think they reneged on what they said they were going to do, but they certainly said, nah, we're not going to be, you know, coerced into not allowing people to leave honest reviews. So JT, bloody interesting stuff. What's your take on that?
Jesus. It's an interesting one, isn't it? And you're right around the lot of legal cases hanging out there at the moment, because the reality is a negative review is obviously can be devastating for a business. And if there is someone that's done it malicious, it might be a competitor or whatever it might be. It's a pretty easy way to get back at people, isn't it? So, it's murky ground, isn't it, though? You got to respect Thailand for protecting their business owners and stuff. But in theory, if TripAdvisor are going to do that on that particular hotel, wouldn't they have to do it on every Thailand hotel and basically say, if you make a negative comment, you could end up in jail?
Well, so far, that was the first one they've found that has gone to jail, or that's the one that they were making a point of. Mm. But it's quite, and it's fair also for TripAdvisor, because they copped a fair whack because people weren't, they weren't putting up reviews when real rough stuff, things like rapes and stuff, and people would report that, and TripAdvisor didn't, broadcast it, didn't put it on their review page, and they copped the whack for it, saying, hey, it's not fair if you're going to be a bloody independent. And of course, every country's got different rules, JT. America, free speech.
Yep.
Mate, not in Thailand. So,
wow.
Yeah, I think it's a case of when in Rome, JT. This will be to watch.
Well, there we go. Look forward to it. All right, let's get into our next segment.
Geek of the Week.
Oh, this is where we just love a bit of geeky stuff, Don. And
this is you, JT.
Man, there is no shortage of geek stuff to talk about in the world, but I saw something that's grabbed my attention, Donnie, and I just had to share it with you because it's something that it's relevant to all of us, Don.
Oh, what could that be, JT?
Passwords.
Oh, well, yeah, bloody stuff without them, mate.
We all have passwords, we all forget them, and we all just tend to go to our go-to favourites, don't we, Don?
Well, JT, I might be guilty of having the exact same bloody password. Well, once it got the all clear of a big, strong green password, I thought, that's bulletproof, I'll use it everywhere.
Bulletproof. Well, I want to share a list with you, Don, because there's a website that basically releases the most common passwords that are used. They track it every year. And so I've managed to get a hold of the list. I'm going to put it up here now. This is this is very, very true. You can see the number one in the last 4 or 5 years has been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, followed by password. There's not a lot of creativity there in a lot of those passwords, as you would expect. Of course, it was. It is pleasing to see there, Donnie. I don't know if you could, if you noticed it, but in 2019,
have a look at that, JT.
Yeah,
I have just spotted it. There it is, number 7 on the rankings list of all-time great passwords, and I'm sure it's got everything to do with when we launched this podcast. Giddy up! How bloody good is that?
I know, right? Now, look, I don't want to suggest that I may have doctored up that in 2019 image at all. But now, of course, that's interesting in itself, Don, but I wanted to take it another step forward, because that's what we do on Giddy Up Podcast. We want to bring our listeners. We want to bring them more. So even though this was just in the news last week, I'm thinking, well, 2020's been an interesting year, Don. I wonder if that's had an influence on whether people's passwords would have changed.
Oh, yeah, like COVID-y sort of,
That's right. So I thought, you know what? So I've just happened to get my hands on the 2020 passwords.
Oh, so these are hot off the press,
hot
JT.
Off the press, not even released in the media yet. Here it is for our viewers, right, Donnie.
Have a look at that. COVID sucks. I hate masks. I can't say all these, JT.
Some of them may not be repeatable, but hey, this is what the people are using, Donnie. It's not up to me.
Good use of hashtag.
Very good use of hashtags there.
Trump is nuts. Giddy Up's got another,
mate,
JT.
We're climbing the charts, Donnie.
And but what is fantastic, mate, is that people are using it in the right context, JT. They're not just saying those fools on giddy up. They're using it for protecting their loved ones, password, bank accounts. If you want to send your bank account details to us, we'll take them.
We'll happily take it. Now, of course, we love having a laugh on this show, and obviously I clearly made most of those up. But we also want to educate people, Don.
How do we do it, JT? What have you got for us?
Well, this is the thing with passwords. A computer can now guess more than 100 million passwords per second.
Whoa.
So if someone wants to hack into any of your accounts and they have a pretty fair effort, fair crack at it, they're going to do it. And the average person today, John, has 70 to 80 passwords.
Really, JT? It's
a huge amount of passwords, right? Now, obviously, that's really hard to keep track of, right? And I'll give you a little bit of tip of that. But one thing I wanted to do, though, is I want to share something, and this is the education bit for all everyone that's listening. It's called password spaces. And in theory, and I'll put it up on the screen now. Have a look at this, Donnie. If you had a lowercase only password, and you see the example there in the column where it just says pass, P-A-S-S, in lowercase, the password space, this is basically, in other words, how hard it is to crack, if you like, is 456,976. But if you add lowercase only in a longer word, so password instead of pass, you can see it's now jumped to 208 million. Now, remember, computers can do 100 million passwords per second. You go to lowercase and an uppercase combination, it jumps to 53 billion. You go to lower uppercase and digits, you can see the numbers. And when you use lowercase, uppercase, digits, and symbols, e.g. like PA and then the dollar symbol, you know, small W, O, you know, RD, for those who are listening, it is an astronomical number. And that's why when people are choosing passwords, they always say, you know, use something that's really secure. That's why they're now forcing you to use lowercase, uppercase, digits, you know, hashes, all those sort of things. That's why it increases that password space and therefore the security of your account.
JT, no one can ever tell me that you are not the rightful geek of the Giddy Up podcast. Like, between the two of us, you've got male model and absolute geeked out. And I tell you what, people will be going straight to their little keyboards and changing stuff right now, whacking ups and lowers and all that sort of stuff because of that, mate. Well played.
I bloody hope so. And the other tip I'll give people, there actually are now things out there called password managers. I use one called 1Password. All you have to do is remember 1Password and then it tracks all your passwords. It automatically logs you in when you go to sites that you've set up. It automatically creates really secure passwords for you on all those sites. And so if you've got 70, 80, 100 passwords, whatever it is, and you use the apps like that, it'll save your day. And I'd say it costs a whole $3 US a month for 1Password.
Hey, JT, I'm going to tell you to get stuffed because one time I used this app password, right? And then the app, they didn't update it, and then it locked, and I couldn't open the bloody thing, and then I lost all my passwords. So my password's all written in a little book, so
That sounds really secure. I can't see what would go go wrong at all, Don.
And I carry that in my wallet.
Yeah, brilliant. That's what we love to hear.
You bloody ripper!
Oh, now, Don, there is a lot happening again, and, well, what do you got for us this week that we're going to get bloody pumped about?
JT, I don't know if you're living under a rock, but so far, if it's not COVID, the biggest thing that's talked about in Victoria, it is donuts, my friend.
Donuts. I love donuts.
Krispy Kreme, Choc Tops, the lot. Donuts. Ultimately, what they're alluding to, JT, is stop bloody eating them and take note that the donut is a big circle. That's how many COVID cases we've had for bloody ages. Now, I think I forgot how to count. I've stopped counting, JT.
We are up to 14 days, my friend, 14 days.
How good is that, mate? That's bloody you ripper material right there.
It is bloody exciting. And, of course, what that means is the other good news that came out of that, I believe, Donnie, is the PM made a statement today, I think it was, Don.
JT, I heard that statement. You know what it was?
Tell me.
He said all borders open by Christmas.
There we go. That's what we want to hear. Yeah. So all borders open. So everyone, like, we can just travel in any state whatsoever?
Probably stay away from Western Australia. They can get stuffed.
What's going on over in WA?
Oh, they've always had it up against the East Coast for bloody years, mate. Thought that we were, you know, not as good as them. And so they said, we'll close our borders. We'll keep them closed. We don't give a shit. We're going to Queensland.
Stuff them. Yeah, we don't give a shit. Get stuffed, yeah. WA.
Straight over them, off to Thailand. Yeah. Here we come.
All right. Now, this is the moment that all the people are waiting for, Don, because it's like, you know, in the young days and you'd go into the milk bar and you could pre-buy the mixed bag of lollies and you just never knew what you were going to get. And I feel like it's a little bit the same with Don's pick of the week. Donnie's pick of the week.
Oh, JT, what I love about this is that when you send me the run sheet, it's great if I can follow it. But what I did do this week is I thought, in the unlikely event of an emergency and I don't have the run sheet, I'll pick something that I cannot possibly stuff up. So this is what I did. I stayed away from sex toys. I stayed away from hand sanitizer that wasn't for kiddies. And I've gone to something that I knew you would love.
Well, what do you got for me, Don? This sounds intriguing.
JT, I have got for you. Well, you know how animals get a bad rap?
Sometimes.
Well, when they eat people and stuff, right?
Sharks don't have the best, you know, image sometimes.
If I said to you, pit bull, JT...
Yeah, not known for warm, friendly, cuddly dogs, I wouldn't have thought.
JT, what if I told you the biggest pit bull going around could eat you in a heartbeat but won't because it is the most soft, cuddly pit bull you've ever seen?
I wouldn't believe it.
What if I told you, JT, that the pit bull is 180 pounds?
Pounds?
Four times the normal size. JT, this thing is massive, right?
Donnie, have you got a photo, Donnie? I want to see this. Have you got something you can show us?
Well, I've got a photo, JT. I'm going to, through the magic of television, I'm hoping we'll bring it up here. There it is. Have a guess of his name, JT.
I don't know. Big
Hulk.
Hulk, correct. Of course.
What else would you call 180-pound... Pitbull JT. Man, you'd have to call him.
He's a massive unit.
And look at him standing up there. Like, he seriously, and he's got the looks only a mother could love. But what I really love about these owners is they've got two little toddlers and they've said, you know what, we trust him with our toddlers. Now, I don't know about you, JT, but when I look at Hulk, I'd really want to spend some time with him before I trust him with my kids. But that,
and you could swallow one whole. Look at the size of him.
Yep. It's bloody impressive, isn't it? So if this is not a incentive for people that are listening here to jump back onto the Giddy Up podcast just to have a look at these photos, and I don't know what is, but JT, Hulk, for me, I brought him here for you tonight, JT, because I know you're an animal lover. And, of course, we heard Nance Big Dog bark the other week, and in the background I thought, you know what, I'm after a big dog bark, and this is it, mate. There he is.
Well done, Johnny. Well done. Very, very, very impressive. All right, well, geez, I feel a bit of pressure now. I better follow this up with something bloody good. JT's pick of the week. Oh, geez. Well, you've covered animals, so I'm going to steer away from animals in my segment. I know I normally like to bang on about animals, but...
hang on a minute. This
I'm
is new.
I'm going to go something that might be a little bit closer to home, Don. Well, for those that don't know you, it's fair to say that you weren't born with all your bits, Don. You're missing a bit of your leg.
I'm missing a bit of leg. True story.
Yeah. Ever thought it'd be cool to get another one? Just, you know, bolt one on and have it all work and not have to worry about it and just grow another one?
I've got about 50 legs, JT. I don't need any more.
I have seen your collection. This is true. And, of course, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago we had a beautiful interview with Danny DeToro, paraplegic at 12 years old, I think it was, and never Legend. Able to walk again. Well... I just wanted to bring something to your attention, Don. There has been a new invention.
Oh.
And it is revolutionary. It's a couple of Aussies. It could have actually fitted into our Aussie section. That's a couple of Melbourne scientists and surgeons. And look, I could crap on, but I'm not a doctor, as we all know. So
there are a lot of things, JT. Male model.
Doctor is not one of them. So I actually have a minute 20, I think it is, video and audio. So if you're listening, this will still make sense. And I think this is just going to blow your mind.
Some conditions affecting the nerve cells in the body can result in disability. Spinal cord injury, stroke, limb amputation, and motor neuron disease, or ALS, may all cause paralysis, or even loss of the ability to speak. The Stentrode is a neural interface designed to overcome paralysis by creating a digital bypass from brain to assistive device. An investigational device, the Stentrode is inserted via a catheter into the jugular vein and maneuvered into the brain without the need for open brain surgery. The sensors are built onto a self-expanding stent that engages into the wall of the vein and which is designed to maintain blood flow. Over time, cells may gradually grow over the sensors and incorporate them into the tissue. The sensors are placed immediately adjacent to the control center in the brain, known as the motor cortex. The patient may be paralyzed, but their motor control center can still be activated simply by thinking. The system is designed to transmit these brain signals out of the brain, out of the vein, and into a unit implanted under the skin in the chest. This unit is programmed to pick up brain signals continuously, and when connected to an external receiver, may send them to a computer. The command center in the brain is now directly connected to software, and the patient would attempt to train their brain for direct operating system control by thinking. Direct brain control of a mouse, a keyboard, exoskeletons, and even vehicles may become possible. Technology to restore independence. Synchron's neural interface technology, enabling people.
What do you reckon, Don?
Mate, that seems like it's something out of one of a movie. I shit you not. You know, like forget the movies, like sci-fi movies and stuff that you just sort of make stuff up. If that's real deal, JT, that's bloody impressive.
Mate, not only is it the real deal, I'm going to share a screen right now. Just give me 1 second while I work out how to bloody do this. here we go. Okay, so you should be able to see this guy on your screen here. The guy that you're looking at there is Phil O'Keefe. He's the second person to undergo the Stentrode implant, and he now uses his thoughts to work a computer. So this is actually true and happening today. He sent an email a few weeks ago purely using his mind. It took him about 20 minutes to do it. The next time he did it, it took him 5 minutes.
Wow.
He's
how good is that,
the
mate?
Email using thoughts in his head.
I really, really hope, JT, all shit aside, I never have to have that, because there would be so many cases of websites popping open that I never really thought about, but I'd be guilty for. It shouldn't be open, JT.
That's true. But
that is bloody awesome.
You know, it's just fantastic. And, you know, Philip, the guy I put on the screen, sorry for just looking away at the moment, but he's got MS, I think, and it's obviously not going to end well for him, and he knows that. And he's really just being a pioneer at the moment and just seeing how much this technology can do and help people. It is just absolutely incredible. Now, of course, he's just thinking and controlling a keyboard, but the thinking is that for people that are paraplegics, that they can think about walking and they'll be able to walk. It will actually control the motor neurons and actually make them walk again. So it is unbelievable that this stuff is real and happening.
JT, at the 1996 Paralympic Games, we had Christopher Reeves. Remember Christopher Reeves?
I do, mate. Superman.
Fell off a horse.
He did, yes.
Yes, ended up as a quadriplegic. Come out, and he said at the opening, he said, "One day I will walk again." And honestly, it pissed most people off in the teens, because they go, "Mate, just fucking accept it. You'll never walk. Your life has changed forever." I shit you not, mate. Watching that now, every person would have watched that and gone, "You know what? Hey, buddy, might be onto something." That is like talking about driving a car with your thoughts, JT. That's unreal, isn't it?
That's bloody incredible. So anyway, I wanted to share that with everyone. And
good find, mate. Well done.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice one. And now we're going to get into, some more interesting stuff.
Bizarre news stories.
All right.
Hey. JT, how good is it that the listeners are tuning in? They're all jumping on the comments box and going, "Bloody unreal! They love that story, JT. They think you're awesome for finding it." All the really good stuff happening. That's great. Thanks, listeners. We agree.
It is bloody awesome. And now the bizarre news stories, where we are back in a bit of the animal one. And this could have gone in Dickhead of the Week, to be honest. But it was on the surface, it really sounds like Dick of the Week, but it is an incredibly complex issue. Denmark announced their plans to cull 15 million minks. Now, I don't know if you know what minks are. Minks are used, they're farmed for fur. And so a mink jacket is typically very, very expensive. Here's a photo of a mink. That's what they look like, and that's what looks when they're in cages. They're very sensitive, smart, intelligent animals, and they're killed for their fur. And, yeah, Denmark announced last week that they're going to cull 15 million of them. And you sort
what
of
go, they do? Well, must have pissed someone off.
That's right. You say, geez, they're in a bit of trouble. Apparently what's happened is there's been they've got COVID, basically. So COVID is...
What, the minks have got it?
Yeah. And,
did they eat the bat?
Well, maybe. They're not quite sure.
One of them went to China.
But what they're really worried about is because the risk of retransmitting it back to humans, the problem is it's a different kind of strain. And they're really worried that what could happen is if we get all these antibodies and we get all these vaccines out, it could actually impact those vaccines because it could be a different strain and therefore not work. And so they've said, you know what, it's a really tough decision. We don't like having to do this, obviously, but for the greater mankind, they are effectively killing all 15 million. They have farms all over there and about 1,500 breeders. And I think what 40% of the global mink production comes from Denmark. So unfortunately, yeah, 15 million minks are being killed as we speak.
But JT, surely if we just whacked them in quarantine, didn't let them cross the borders and they all stayed there and actually never got COVID, that'd be right?
It'd be nice to think, wouldn't it? So as I said, look, on the surface you go, geez, what a bunch of pricks. It's a really tough decision and they generally seem quite traumatised. It doesn't make a difference to the minks, unfortunately. But our job is to bring you what we think is interesting and bizarre news, and that was certainly right up there.
Yep, well played, mate. I can't argue that is up there.
Now, I know you're a man who, you're a former elite athlete. And
very former.
You would have been right into your protein, of course.
700 grapes at a time, JT.
There we go, counting every one of them. But you would have been right into your protein powders, of course, and most protein powder comes from milk, eggs, egg white, whey protein, etc. But Nestle, one of the big food manufacturers in the world, have just decided that they're going to be, instead of using all that, they're going to be using insect protein.
Huh?
Yeah, they're just going to crush up basically insects, crickets and that sort of stuff, and they're going to use that. Now, it's not for humans. It's going to be added to their pet food. So instead of using milk-based products in their pet food, they're going to start using insect food because it's far better for the environment.
You know what I reckon, JT?
Yeah,
they can come around my joint at around twilight when I'm about to light the Barbie and they can get a shitload of mossies and start with that lot. I don't know. Who's going to be upset about that? No one.
I wouldn't have thought so. But now, of course, it isn't just pet food, though. You can actually buy insect food. Now, you can buy plant-based protein as well. I use plant-based protein now in all my stuff instead of what I used to use, which is the milk-based stuff, feeling a lot better for it. So there you go, the way of the world, mate, insect protein.
JT, I'm all over the organic stuff. This is true story. Organic wine, JT. It's called Farmhand. No, true story. It's on the bottle. I don't know how true it is. It tastes organic. So, mate, I like it. I'm really impressed.
Billy's just got a question there for you, mate. Just have you got two drinks on the go there, Donnie?
Well, one's rehydration, so we're always got to rehydrate, JT. I'm right. They won't be there for long, though. Hey, speaking of Billy, how's Billy's form? If you take a closer look, JT, this is what I'm referring to as my moustache. Well, Billy's jumped on board. He's got the moustache happening. He's got the handlebars chopper moustache going. Movember, mate, we love it. I tried to talk you into being a male model with a moustache, and you said no.
Yep.
But I'm loving there's plenty of conversation going around about the moustache.
Billy, so, we want to see a photo on our Facebook page, mate. Post it up. Now, speaking of bizarre stuff, well, we're going to cross into our next section, but there is a bit of bizarre stuff in it.
Once upon a time.
Now, Don, I want you to think back to the big dark ages when man were men and there were wildebeests. And they used to run around and they used to kill things, right? If I said to you, who's going to go and kill the beast and bring it back to the tribe and we're all going to feast on this big wildebeest, you'd get some big macho man idea in your head, wouldn't you, of course? Big guy with spears and all that sort of stuff. Well, we're just about to flip all that on its head, mate. That's what it looked like.
No.
Very true.
The ladies, out doing the hunting.
The ladies were doing the hunting. It's just going to shed new light on gender roles. And they literally found a woman who was buried 9,000 years ago, and she was buried with spear points and other hunting tools, etc. And basically what it's done is it led researchers to conclude that amongst ancient Americans, nearly as many females as males hunted the large animals.
Wow, JT, that's how do you reckon that's going to go when I walk into the house and I say, all right, that's it, boof. You've got to – mate, no way. I'm not going there. Whatever happens, gender equality, JT.
good move, Donnie. Like, he just played a straight bat. Very smart move. Now, this one is absolutely bizarre. Now, we want to talk about teeth whitening, Don.
Oh. Yeah. Are they not coming up too good?
No, mate, yours are looking very good. The pearly whites are looking nice there. Now, but this segment, of course, is about going back in time. Now, these days you can just order a kit on the internet and they'll ship it out to you. Go to the dentist and they'll, whip a few.
Put it in a little mouth guard overnight. That's right. Three shades lighter the next day and that, yep.
Exactly. But back in the day, Donnie, all those things weren't possible. But, of course, people appreciated nice-looking pearly whites back then as well, and a nice smelling breath and all those sorts of things are still very good attributes. So those Romans, mate, they were pretty cluey.
Yep. What did they do, JT?
Well, they like to use natural things, Donnie, so they use natural cleaning agents.
Organic.
Yep, yes, organic. Right. Yep, very organic.
Oh, hang on. You've got that look in your eyes, Jake. No! What'd they do?
They use stale urine as mouthwash.
Oh, now I'm not going to name any names, but Listerine could probably cover taste like that some days. Really?
Yeah, but Don, this is the thing. It actually works. You see, urine contains ammonia. It contains ammonia, and it's one of the best natural cleaning agents around. And this is true.
JT, we said to our listeners, we'd try a few things. Get stuffed. I'm not stuffed.
Yeah, I'm not trying it either. But the liquid gold, as they called it, was so in demand that Romans who traded in it actually had to pay a tax. It was very popular back in the day.
So hang on a minute. You go and have a slash and you keep it in a bottle and then you sell it and you pay tax for keeping your own urine.
It was stale urine, so you wouldn't just have a slash and then whack it in your mouth. It was
not the
stale,
fresh stuff. But,
no, it had
actually,
to go,
wasn't
it
there
was
a rugby league player that did that?
Let's not go there, Noddy. Let's not go there. Anyway. But for interestingly enough, though, when you dig a little bit deeper in this, pee is a treasure trove of scientific potential. It's now being used as a source of electric power. Urine-eating bacteria can create strong enough current to power a cell phone.
Urine-eating bacteria is creating power.
Enough
what is
current
the power? Like,
to power a cell phone. Medicines derived from urine can help treat infertility. And stem cells harvested from urine have been reprogrammed into neurons to help grow human teeth. And it is the miracle liquid.
JT, everything I've got to say now will just have you hitting the mute button. So I've got nothing to add to that.
Probably good time to move on.
What's happening with Gen Z?
Those pesky little Gen Zs. Now I want to talk to something that I know that this is very, very exciting for you, Don, because I mean, we've known each other for a long time. You've told a few stories about school, and I know that you would have been the boy that just loved homework.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was the difference between my amazing marks at school and me sort of creating my own gambling thing in the schoolyard. I wasn't doing enough homework.
Well, this was going to go in Hero of the Week, but I came up with something else for Hero of the Week. But I'm going to play you a clip here from a teacher that has caused controversy all over the world.
Cool. All right, I'm getting a lot of comments, like this and a lot of people coming at me, other teachers, for saying that I'm not doing my job because I'm not assigning homework. But there's no proof that homework is going to make them better students in my class. I respect their time outside of class. They work hard for me all day. They don't need to go home and do more homework, because if they do it at home, it does not show me mastery. It's extra practice, sure, but not practice if they're doing it wrong. It's not good practice if they're cheating. It's not good practice if they're having someone else do it. Most of my students are high schoolers. They have jobs. They have FFA. They have sports. They're in practice. They're in band. They have other responsibilities outside of school. Some of them are going home and taking care of their younger siblings because their parents are at work. Some of them just need to go home and sleep. Some of them have to go home and worry about how they're going to eat because there's no food at their house. So if I also give them hours of homework, when do they have time to be kids? When do they have time to relax? Because when you get off of work, you want to go home and relax.
What do you think, Don?
Well, I would take that advice if I was at school. Funny, Janine, how's her form? Yes, he loves homework and detention. She can get stuff. No, it's a good point. No, what I find interesting, and the only bit that stops me going absolutely, is the science. I see how, like, everything she said is on point, but my concern is, has she been around long enough? She looks so young, she did that for a TikTok bloody like, and you're going to get it because that's your generation. I would love to hear my old math teacher, Mr. Gilmore, who had been around for 180 years, say, mate, say the same thing, because then I'd say it's been back. I would like to ask her one question. How long have you been out of uni, and how much proof have you got, years of being able to take it on board?
See, the thing I love about talking to you, Don, is you never know what you're going to get. I thought you would be all over that and would have been praising the ground that lady walked on.
Well, no, not entirely. Just because I there's definitely merit in it. And clearly, she would be getting a lot of comments from people that, you only had to listen to half of what she said and you'd know she was in a socioeconomic struggle town of a school. You know, the things that she was saying, some kids would never be able to relate to. So she's probably hit the nail on the head right there. And in my opinion, teaching is like coaching. You need to know what buttons to push at what time. And, mate, she's pushing the right button. So good on her for doing it. And I'd love her colleagues to be able to weigh into that argument. And it's a debate. It will never go away. And let's hope it never does.
Well said, Don. Interesting.
You bloody mongrel!
Which section is that?
Donnie, we have this section called Down Under that you normally put together every week, Don.
Yeah. Well, that's right. No, I was waiting for something Down Under to remind me, but I thought someone was talking to me with the birds out the back. No, this, you know what, it's NAIDOC week, JT. You know what that is?
No idea.
Well, I was hoping you would, because that would add a bit more value to know.
Oh, and of course, it's something about the Aboriginal community, and it's a big week that we celebrate or something. How'd I go?
Well, that I'll give it to you, because it's really not what I wanted to talk about, but it relates to it.
All right.
Because I wanted to talk, JT, about the didgeridoo.
Okay.
The didgeridoo, JT, I could have popped this in any sort of part of inventions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, and typically I've gone and have a look at Down Under, what have we invented, the black box and different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Didgeridoo is our oldest Australian known invention from first man here. And get this, JT, the way they used to make the didgeridoos, and I don't know, I'm pretty sure there's machinery out there that can lathe and whip it up now, but they'd get an old section of a eucalyptus branch and they'd put it near a termite mound and let the termites eat it out. And it used to be called the aerophone. And it's by musicologists, of course.
Of course.
But I love the thought of being able to get something and leave it there and let nature take its course. Oh, hello. I wonder why you flicked that onto me, JT. But for me, I just want to hats off to our Aboriginals, to our first people for coming up with the very first invention that has inspired so many other people to come up with great inventions. So that's one, JT, I wanted to put it here. And on that, JT, I heard a very interesting thing this week, and that was that we should change the national anthem.
Mm.
I took a deep breath because I've heard this one over the years. I've competed under our flag. I've sang the national anthem with pride. I've screamed it out like I was in bloody Cold Chisel, to be honest, when I won a gold medal. And anyway, that's another story, another day. JT, changing the national anthem, it got me thinking. I don't know if I like it or not. But then when I heard what the potential change should be, JT, and how it would affect those other, how it would affect people, the change was to change the words from "we are young and free" to "we are one and free." Well, JT, it is the first time I've heard a argument for changing the national anthem that I actually bloody agree with, that I could comfortably go, yep, I'm all for that. And I appreciate we're not young if we've got Aboriginals that have been here for bloody hundreds of years before we rocked up, and the white man, of course. And so on that note, JT, I am putting my hand up to say I vote for changing the national anthem.
There you go. Well, that's one vote done.
Well, I don't know if it'll bloody get across the board, but anyway, I just thought it was very interesting, JT. A lot of things going on. Right up.
What else you got?
Mate, I've got one here. The remember I told you a few weeks, JT, there was a mob up Brisbane Way, and they had designed a rapid fire indicator for COVID.
So a quick fire test.
And the reason I mentioned it is because, get this, JT, they have picked up 30 large 30 from bucks. The US. Nah. Whoop, whoop.
30 mil.
30 mil. So that's why I was trying to buy shares in this mob. I thought they are literally all over it. But how good's that, JT? There is, and what I love about it, Brisbane, my friend. Brisbane are exporting this to America. My first thought was, get stuff. What about us? And then I listened to the bloke on the radio talk. It was from Illume is the company. And they talked about the fact that America are in a far different situation from us. I mean, let's be honest. We've had 14 days of donuts and they have got, well, Trump. So, you know, they if they're going to have something that can give a quick response. So basically what it is you you put your COVID sample into a little thingy and you actually connect it into your phone. There's an app on your phone and it sends it away, does its little magic and gives you a reading and tells you if you got COVID or not. So it's a, mate, that's impressive, isn't it?
Not bad at all, Donnie. All right, well, on that note. Give us your best life hack. What have you got? Give us one.
Well, I don't know if it's my best, but JT, I know you love Christmas lights.
I do.
Me?
I do.
I love Christmas lights. Every Christmas I come up with the same bloody problem, and that is that I usually short circuit the house at some point, and almost guarantee it's when it's raining. And it's because I've left the power board without cover. I figured, how can I get some power boards waterproof so I can just sleep soundly at night with all my lights annoying the neighbours?
I've seen your light show. It's very it's impressive. Large. Yeah.
So get a, JT, this is what we're going to do. Get a plastic container with a lid that is the same size as or a bit bigger than your power board. Put your power board as if you're going to put it in and just chop out, JT, just a little U-shape underneath the lid on the ends and your cord will be able to go in there. You'll be able to seal your box. Waterproof container, JT, just like that.
Brilliant. Or you could just go to Bunnings and buy the waterproof powerboard container as well. But
you know what you're going to pay for that, JT?
A lot more than your plastic container.
Bingo. Now, speaking of powerboards, JT, I want to teach you a little life lesson. 1972, Mr. Peter Talbot came up with the – he was working with Frank Bannigan at Cambrook, right? And he came up with the powerboard. He actually bloody invented it. There it is. He invented that. But, mate, the life lesson is not inventing power boards. The life lesson is, kids, when you invent shit, put a patent on it. Make sure you do copyright. He didn't do it, mate. Never had a single cent royalty, these blokes, because they never put a bloody patent on it.
Ouch.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Let that be a lesson.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that is a very painful and expensive lesson, I would have thought. Oh, good.
Almost like buying a power board at Bunnings.
Good tip, Donnie. hey, don't love Bunnings. Sausage sizzles are coming back, Don. You hear about that?
Oh, yes. Giddy up, mate. We like a good old snag on a barbie. Mate,
that we do. All right. We get to celebrate our hero of the week, Donnie. Now, again, we've gone the animal kingdom this time, but it's a bit of a combo. We've got a bit of an animal and a people kind of thing. And look, I could talk about it all you like, but you know what? I'm just going to play the video.
Eric the pet parrot has become an unlikely hero. When a fierce fire broke out at Brisbane's Kangaroo Point early this morning, the bird squawked his sleeping owner's name to alert him to the danger.
I heard a bang, and Eric, my parrot, he started to yell. So I woke up, and I smelled a bit of smoke.
Neighbours also woke to the sounds of explosions.
Oh!
As the blaze took hold,
you get the gist. Pretty smart parrot, don't he?
JT, I tell you what was that bloke's name? Did you get his name? Nah. Eric was a parrot.
Nah, I don't know.
The difference between JT...
Who cares about his name? It was all about the bird.
That parrot and my dog, right? My dog could be yapping at me. I'd just say, shut up, I'm trying to sleep. And in the meantime, I'd cook. This bloke gets out to see his parrot and saves his life. How bloody good's that?
Bloody awesome, wasn't it? So well done, Eric the Parrot. You are our nominated Hero of the Week. Now, Don, it is that time...
Dad joke of the week.
JT, I do it every week. I ask on behalf of our greater listening audience, do the kiddies need to go and get some milk, JT? potentially.
I think kiddies are more than safe, but mum and dad might have to explain a couple of things, but I think it'll be fine. There is no rude words, Donnie. No rude words at all. So this one, mate, look, there's a woman in labour.
Oh, okay.
And she was rushed to hospital by her husband. Right thing to do. He started off good. And when they arrived, the doctor, he's told him, he says, look, I've just invented this new machine. And he said, what it does is it transfers a portion of the mother's labour pain to the father. So the doc says, would you be interested in trying it out? So they sort of both looked at each other and a lot of love there. And they said, well, of course, we'll agree to it. Let's do it. So the doctor set the pain transfer to 10% to start. And he said, look, even at 10%, it's probably going to be more pain than you have ever experienced before. And the guy goes, well, that's all right, man. Let's do it. So goes away and bang, off it goes. And the doctor sort of, a couple of minutes later, goes, mate, how are you going there? And he's like, buddy, feel fine. He goes, mate, ramp it up a bit. So the doctor goes, geez, I'm a tough bloke. So he whacks it up to 20%. The husband's still feeling fine. So the doctor sort of comes over and checks his husband's blood pressure and he's just amazed at how well he's doing. So he says, look, at this point, I'm going to ramp it up to 50%. So he ramps it up to 50% and the husband's still going all right, Tony. He's still feeling well. Now, since the pain transfer was obviously helping out the wife considerably, the husband encouraged the doctor to transfer all the pain to him. So anyway, short time later, the wife delivered a healthy baby with virtually no pain. And she and her husband were both ecstatic. Anyway, they finally get home and they get home and they find the postman dead on the porch.
Oh no! Oh, JT. Oh, that's good. Yep, well done.
All right,
good.
We love giving our listeners two jokes. So I've got another one for you, Donnie. Now, a lady approaches a priest and she says, "Father, I have a problem. I've got these two talking female parents, but they only know how to say one thing, and they keep saying, 'Hi, we're hot. Do you want a date?'" "That's terrible," the priest exclaims. He goes, "But I do have a solution to your problem." He goes, "Bring your two parrots over to my house. I'll put them with my two male talking parrots, and I've taught them to pray and read the Bible. So my parrots will teach your parrots to stop saying that terrible phrase, and your female parrots will learn to pray and worship." So the next day, the lady brings her female parrots to the priest's house, and the priest's parrots are holding rosary beads and they're praying in their cage. So the lady puts her female talking parrots in with the male talking parrots, and the female parrots say, "Hi, we're hot. Do you want a date?" So one male parrot just looks over at the other male parrot and screams, "Put your bloody Bible away, idiot. Our prayers have been answered."
Oh, that's a good one, JT. Oh, very good. No, I like that. That's impressive.
I like that one. Awesome. Now, of course, each week we do bring our money whisperer, and he's always had some hot tips. He's been on the money, pardon the pun, but he's given us some absolute crackers in the last few weeks with some hot tips. So look forward to hearing what he's got to say this week.
G'day, guys. It's the Money Whisperer here with my weekly update on all things finance. Turns out that I overestimated the generosity of the big banks, which in hindsight was a pretty stupid mistake to make. Turns out they passed on none of last week's Reserve Bank interest rate cut on the variable rates. They decided to keep the lot for themselves. The fixed rates, though, have continued to drop. So 2 or 3 years at just over 2% and just under 2% at some lenders. That's got to be pretty attractive. And if you're in the market for a refinance, when you can throw in a $2,000, $3,000, or $4,000 refinance rebate for switching costs to the new lender and get, you know, around the 2% for 2, 3, or 4 years, I mean, that's got to be pretty attractive, if you ask me. And we had a lot of feedback about the buying your own shares and the Webjet shares. It's good to see that Webjet has fired today and is up around the $5 mark, which is good with the news of the vaccine. I do think there'll be some good buying opportunities in the share market with some that might be overinflated on this good news. They might come back a little bit and present some good buying opportunities, but we'll discuss those as they arrive. Cheers, guys. Talk to you next week. Bye.
JT, I tell you what, the Money Whisperer talks about attractive options, and like, I mean, he's an attractive unit. He knows his stuff. He literally has some skin in the game, mate. When he mentioned those shares about the Webjet, I thought, oh, I'll have a little sneaky look, see at those. And I did, just a couple of little ones on there. And, mate, they're up just shy. They went up to $6 and just dropped back about $5.95 the last look before the show. So,
he's on the money.
All right,
he's looking after our listeners very, very well. Yes. Dickhead of the week.
You suck.
Now Denise has asked, who is this smart man? Well, it's a secret. We can't reveal his identity. But,
it's like the stig, mate. He's the Money Whisperer. That's right.
Now, Don, this week, dickhead of the week, I'm going to take aim at, I'm going big. I'm going big. I know. I can't help myself. I'm going the entire Bachelor series, Don.
Hang on a minute, JT. You're the bloody, you love that shit.
I'm bloody over it, Don. I'm over it. We just had the big finale last week. We had the two bloody sisters. They've gone and found their perfect man. And it turns out, Don, 3 days after filming wrapped, boom, it's over already.
Now, JT, I am not one to say I told you so. I am not one to say that those bloody producers have far more say in reality telly than really is going on. But, well, welcome. Welcome to the reason I do not watch that shit.
It's bullshit. You spend 12 weeks of your life investing in hoping these people find true love, and that's the crap that they dish up. So I got so angry, Don. I've gone back in history, and I've gone and found, I said, you know what? I'm going to go back and find out how many are still together. Now, Don, I know you love your Bachelor. I'm going to put it to you. I'm going to show you the photo. And I want you to decide if you reckon they are still together. So we're going to go first to 2013, the very first Bachelor, Tim Robards and Anna Heinrich.
Oh, Tim. And Anna, that'd be together. That's true love right there in that photo.
Well done, Donnie. That's a tick for you. We're going to go next to 2014, Blake Garvey and Sam Frost.
Oh, no, they're not together. I can just look. That's not even a proper, genuine cuddle.
That is correct, Donnie. They are definitely gone. Well done. Next one for you. This is 2015, Sam and Snez.
No chance. Nah, that's not even that. That's put on for the camera.
No chance at all?
Nah.
Still together, Donnie, and expecting their second kid. Good work. We're going to go to 2016. We're going to Sam Frost and Sasha.
No, No, they're not together either.
No. Definitely not on. Didn't last very long. We're going to go next to 2016 to Richie Strawn and Alex Nation.
Oh, Richie, nah. He's thinking about other things, and she's just nah.
The answer to that one is correct. Well and truly over. We're going to go to 2016, Donnie, Georgia Love Righto. And Lee.
Ooh, it's probably, I reckon they're together, JT.
Going together?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well.
What'd you get? Going all right.
Well done. 2017, Donnie, we had, who'd we have 2017? Matty J it was in 2017 and Laura.
Nah. Gone. Yep.
Still together, mate. Together. Second kid on the way.
Of course they're bloody. All these breeders, that's the key, isn't it?
Now, you would probably recognise this one, Donnie. In 2017, we had our first celebrity bachelorette, and it was Sophie Monk and Stu. What do you reckon? Still together?
Gone.
Yeah, no. Absolutely not a hope in hell. Now, the next one's a very sensitive topic, Donnie, because it is our man. It is our tradie.com man.
Hey!
The wonderful Nick Cummins.
The badger.
How do you reckon Nick went?
What, did he take both of them?
Not quite.
I reckon Nick's on his Pat Malone.
Definitely on his Pat Malone. He didn't select either of them.
Oh, in the show he didn't.
In the show, he decided that none of them were right and selected no one. It was a little controversial, it's fair to say, at the time. Moving to 2018, Don, we had Ali and Tate.
Who was the bachelor? Was it the bachelor or bachelorette?
The female was the bachelorette, yep.
Not together, Jack Tate.
Not together. Well done. You're coming into form now. We're going to 2019 to our astrophysicist.
Oh, no. Nah. Not together. No.
Well, very strong there. Absolutely right. 2019, we're getting there. 2019. Beautiful Angie, I should say, and Carlin. 2019, only last year. Don, you're writing that off already.
Yep.
Well done. Good. Well picked. Brings us up to 2020. We've got Lockie and Irina.
Oh. Nah, they're gone. Surely. Oh, they're together.
Still together, apparently. Might be a little bit of trouble in paradise, but still together. And that brings us up to what happened last week. Now, we had two sisters, Don. We had Becky Miles and Peter Mann.
That would have been a heartbreak, but nah.
Yeah, that's the one that was basically over. He dumped her via FaceTime 3 days after filming stopped. And Ellie Miles and Fraser Neat are the other couple.
I'd like to say yes, JT. I'd like to one of the sisters to have found love. Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, that is correct, mate. So we've gone back over the years and turns out there's been 15 in total and 6 are still together and 9 are no longer together.
Well, Nance hit the nail on the head. She said, Don knows his love. From now on, I'd like to be referred to as the love machine.
Oh, God. All right. Now, if you are watching this podcast, apologies if you're listening because I'm going to show a very, very short clip. It's literally like 10 seconds. But if you don't laugh at this, seriously, you've got to watch it. You might even need to play it a couple of times, but it's bloody hilarious. And, of course, this comes up as part of our media watch segment.
Oh, that's funny.
You've got to see that again, right? Do you want to see it again?
Do the kiddies want to see it? Give it a bit of commentary, JT.
All right, we'll give it some commentary. There's a guy coming in, the door's open, he's just going to walk in. There's a guy cleaning a pretend door. Seriously makes me laugh every time I see it.
That's very good. So he's miming that he's cleaning. He's done a very good job of that.
He's done a brilliant job.
Very good.
There we go.
Well done.
Now, we're nearly going to wrap this show up. But first, before we do that, things that are coming up next week, we've got the State of Origin decider, Donnie. And I know you're a big Queensland Marine fan. So
I do.
Came out of the blocks in the first one. So, yeah.
Mate, I tell you what I really liked about this, JT, is I liked that there was a whole lot of people in New South Wales in particular, because, as you know, I went to Finley High School in New South Wales, but I've always been a Queensland fan, right? And they got stuck into me and trying to bloody little Janine, giving it to me, you know. And, of course, Queensland won the first one. So it was like, suffering you jocks. And then, of course, that sort of come back to bite me because bloody New South Wales won. And now it's decider time, mate. We are going to take it right up, all the way up to Queensland for the decider up at Suncorp, and that will be huge, JT. Bigger than any elephant you'll ever see, mate. It will be massive, and it will be one to it's rare. It's rare that we actually get to see a decider on the third game, mate. And the reason it's so rare is because Queensland's been so bloody awesome for so long.
You must be very much looking forward to it. It was actually, I don't really enjoy rugby, but I must admit I did actually enjoy the last couple of games. So, now, Donnie, of course, what we like to do, we've got our big spin of the wheel coming up soon. You're going to be selecting the best contributor for the show for this episode. Mm. But before we do that, we're just going to give everyone your final fling, mate.
We are. That's right, JT. I often tell people whenever I'm doing gigs that I'm happy to refer to myself as the happiest bloke I know. And I kid you not, there's so much negativity and pessimistic shit in the world that actually annoys me. So I choose to be positive. I choose to look to find what that is. Some days it's actually really difficult to be happy. And so what I decided to do is I knew that I wanted to smile. I knew that it's hard to be angry if you're smiling. So this is what I did, mate, is I decided that every single time, bar none, when I look at my watch, I would smile. And what it's done for me, JT, is it hasn't just become my timekeeper. It's become my circuit breaker. It's made sure that I've got a smile on my face no matter what's happening around me when I look at my watch. And so my final fling, my thought for you guys this week is to find something that works for you that is a circuit breaker, that changes the mood purely because it's got another job to do. And try this. Try being angry with a smile on your face. And if you're not sure how that goes, try telling your kids off when they've done something naughty and they make you laugh. It's bloody hard to be mad at them. And so for me, JT, the final fling this week is to, for me, I look at my watch to smile. For you guys, it's find something that puts a smile on your dial every day.
Oh, it's a fantastic tip, Donnie. Love it.
Hopefully, mate, people will do that and they'll share what they've done with us next week, and we'll see if we get a few wins out of that.
I'm sure we'll get some wins out of that. Great advice, Don. I think we should end the show with all one of your hot tips every week, just like that. Now, of course, it does bring us to the elephant in the room, Donnie.
Well, JT, of course, those that tuned in early jumped on the fact that the code word was elephant. And, of course, if you mentioned elephant in the comments, mate, you got put on the big Wheel of Fortune, the Wheel of Giddy-Up.
And
JT, we now, through the power of all your hard work throughout the week, have got that wheel. It's ready. And I'm looking forward to you giving it the big spin.
It is ready. We've got
these
the
are all the people that have said elephant.
The names are loaded. We're ready. We're about to hit click. And good luck to those that are on the wheel. It is going.
SJ's there. See Heather, Millie, Ben.
Well, it's Heather. Looking good for Heather, I think. Yes.
Hey, we have a winner. Heather.
We definitely have a winner.
It's nice for her to be a winner from time to time, JT, and this is one of those times.
Congratulations, Heather. Yep.
What does she get?
That is a $150 tradie.com voucher.
Yeah, JT, I know Heather, and she's never worked a day in her life. So good thing tradie is all about looks as well.
That's exactly right. So you've got to be in quick to get in the wheel. A couple, sorry, looks like Matthew, you might have missed out. We didn't see it. We can only go with the comments we see there at the time. So if you reckon you're robbed, you can write to...
Yes. right in to our three government officials that give us the code word. They are at giddyup.com.suffering your job.
Yeah, sorry, mate. But generally, they were the names there that were there when we ran it. So now, of course, Don, the other prize that we've got for people is our tomm.com.au prize for the best contributor. And the honour goes to you, Don, tonight to select our winner.
Now, JT, I kid you not, we have one winner here unanimously has won because there's been three very, very impressive comments. And let me just give you a couple of them. There was a dog in the street that went up the street into the shop and took a packet of biggies off the bottom shelf. Mm-hmm. Another great contributor was, all this homeschooling has made me hate homework even more.
Yes.
And then, of course, we spoke about the national anthem, and the other one was, and could we get rid of Gert by Sea as another comment. So, and of course, that was Miranda Lee, an absolute champion, and has contributed beautifully, JT.
Well done, Miranda. You are our contributor of the night. I just heard a comment there from Dan Adamick from TomM.com. You've got yourself a wireless charger. Fantastic. Hot off the press technology. So thank you to Dan and TomM.com.au and congratulations to Miranda. Donnie, last thoughts?
Mate, buddy, have a cracking week. I'm really looking forward to a big one next week, JT. And a great show.
It's been fun. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We will wrap up the show right now. Of course, the big thing is, can Donnie get his timing right for his last Giddy Up? We'll find out very, very soon.
Don't forget your reviews at Giddy Up.
Yeah, reviews. Please.